Hi, Jim Packard sitting in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Glad to have you along with us today. Our topic today is today's career path. It's a whole new road. Penelope Trunk is a Madison-based career columnist for both the Boston Globe and Yahoo Finance. Her first book, Brazen Careerist, New Rules for Success, is published by Business Plus. And it is a pleasure to have Penelope on the phone with us today. Hi.
Hi.
Thanks very much for spending time with us. I know you were born in Chicago as Adrian Roston, was it?
Yep.
And then became Adrian Greenheart, Penelope Greenheart, and Penelope Trunk along the way. It's an interesting story.
Yeah, there are actually like a few more names in there.
You didn't include all of them in the book then?
Right. Actually, none of them are in the book. But they're all on the blog. The whole story is on my blog.
Is on your blog.
Yeah.
And on your blog today, you're talking about a year ago you were in a terrible situation, overwhelmed with your workload.
Right. Yeah, it's my anniversary of getting my workload under control. I'm very excited.
And so if people want to go to, if they just Google Penelope Trunk, it will come up right away with your blog.
Right.
And it's an interesting one. I've read several now since we've had you scheduled as a guest, and you have indicated that you're a graduate of Brandeis University, correct?
Uh-huh, yeah.
And a professional beach volleyball player.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us never get to play professional volleyball. You were a bike messenger?
Yeah, I was a bike messenger.
Children's bookstore clerk.
I see that
you were also an autograph signer for Esther Williams. Now, is that true or not?
It is true. I can still do her signature.
Really?
Under duress, I could do it.
And how did you happen to land that position?
It's actually a pretty common job in L.A. You know, there are a lot of people who need their fan mail dealt with. So out there, it's not that big a deal. But I was playing volleyball with her accountant.
Uh-huh.
And Esther asked her accountant to deal with the fan mail, and the accountant didn't, you know, accountants don't do fan mail, so I did that.
You've been a creative writing teacher and then got on the Internet with Fortune 500 website editor, founded several online companies, web programming teacher, Internet business instructor, and along the way have endured an IPO. That is a buyout, correct?
It's going public. An IPO is when a company goes public.
And a merger and a bankruptcy, and you've combined all of this into life as now a career expert, and I guess that many experiences would qualify you for it.
Actually, I think the thing that qualifies me for it is not how many jobs I've had, but that I've tried so hard to be true to myself, which is, I think, what everybody wants to do. It looks different for everyone, but I think that's what we all try to do in our lives.
And why did you write the New Rules for Success in Brazen Careerist?
To get the book advance.
Yes? Was that all?
Yeah.
I mean,
I have a lot to say. I'm a writer. I write all the time. So, you know, there are a million ways to slice and dice your writing, and one of the ways is a book. I guess for people who don't read blogs, book is a good thing.
Right. In your blog and in your column for the Boston Globe and Yahoo Finance, what do you see as your audience there?
My audience, I write for young people, for Generation Y and early Generation X, but my audience is much wider because it's so important to companies right now to understand young people in order to recruit and retain them.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of my audience is people whose job is to recruit and retain Generation Y.
Penelope Trunk is our guest, and if you have questions about your career or if you have advice to offer as well, then give us a call. The number in Madison is 263-1890. Everywhere else is toll-free at 800-642-1234, and our email address is talk@wpr.org. Penelope, in spite of advice that I may have heard, are detours the route to happiness?
Yeah, well, I mean, people who get on one path and never get off are never examining their life because our needs and our wants change throughout life. We do all kinds of different things, you know, in our 20s. Most people aren't married. Most people don't have kids. So they have different needs than when they get married, and they have different needs than, again, when they have kids, and you have different needs if you've got four kids in private colleges. So I think if you get on one path and never take a detour, you're not actually addressing your needs. You continue to address the needs you had when you were 20 and got on that path.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually a really disingenuous way to lead a life, and I think that's why young people today just aren't even considering it.
Is a resume a work summary, or do you see it as something more?
Well, I think it's a marketing document, and for most people, they'll get a job by networking. 90% of jobs aren't even listed, so most people are going to get an initial interview through their network, and then the resume will just be kind of a ticket to play that you give it to the person who's interviewing you, and because that's what our customs are. But in the event that you do need to use a resume in order to get a job, you need to have that resume highlight your achievements.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people are mistaken in thinking that a resume is their life history. But people don't care about your life history. They just want to know why you're great. And most people don't even bother to say why they're great because they're so involved in telling people what they did that nobody cares what you did, because you're not going to do it again at another company. And if you are going to do the exact same thing at another company that you did before, what a waste of your time, because you're not going to build any skills, you're not going to enhance your learning curve, you're not going to be engaged because you already know how to do the work anyway. So there's really no point in listing on your resume what you've done. It doesn't help you.
Penelope Trunk is our guest. She's the author of Brazen Careerist, New Rules for Success. It's published by Business Plus. And
it's actually published by Warner Books.
By Warner Books.
Yeah.
All right. I'll write that down so I don't make that mistake again. And let's go to the phones, take some calls. We do have lines open. If you have a call, a comment, or a question in Madison, it's 263-1890. Otherwise, toll free at 800-642-1234. And let's go to Cindy in River Falls first. Hi, Cindy. What's on your mind?
Hi. I've become intrigued by the Internet, and I'm a writer, and I want to become a freelance writer, but use the Internet to do so. I heard of like Google Ads and setting up your own site with Google. Have you done any of that, or published some writings to put out there, and then people put ads on it? I'm just learning.
That's not a way to support yourself. Just get that idea out of your mind. That's not going to happen. I mean, Google Ads for writers are like you can get $10 a month. It's just not a, you need to first figure out what your goals are as a freelance writer. So do you need to support your family, or are you doing it because you want to see your name in print? Which is it?
I'm doing it part-time. I'm going to do it part-time and then eventually do full-time.
And do you need to earn a lot of money doing it? Is the goal money?
The goal is money, yep.
So that's a terrible job for money. Most people will do that job for free. Offline, online, it's almost completely free. So if you really need to earn money, it's a really, really, really hard route to go, especially if you're not starting in New York City. It's very, very, very competitive. And most of the people who can support themselves doing freelance writing are doing things like writing for trade publications, like 10 ways to sell software to government. You know, that's the type of stuff you'll be doing. In order to do something like write online for, say, Redbook and make money at it, you would have to be absolutely at the top of your game, like the very top cream of the crop. Most of the writing online is done for free. Content is free online, and people earn money doing other things online besides content. Online is a really good way to build a brand for yourself. But
okay.
If you want to make money writing, you should probably go in-house and in some company and do marketing communications or technical writing, and then try to get them to let you work from home. That's kind of a reasonable way to do freelance writing from home. But you need kind of a bigger plan. You need like a 5 or 6 year plan. It's a very, very, very competitive field.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Cindy.
Sorry to be discouraging, but at least you're not going to go up the wrong path now.
Keep listening. There may be some other career advice that might be a little more practical to you. Let's get another question from the book out of the way. How is hunting for a job a lifestyle and not a task, as many people look at it?
Well, a good example is the question that I think Cindy just asked, is that you always have to be looking for what you're going to do next and what's going to fit into your lifestyle. And, you know, Cindy's talking about how now she wants to do something part-time and just get her feet wet and then eventually earn a lot of money at it down the line. And she kind of has this vision of what her life needs. And so she's going to always need to be looking for the next writing job, the next thing that comes up. And we all have that. We all can kind of see what's going to be in our lives 5 years from now. Mm-hmm. And so we all need to be saying, what do I need now? What do I need in the future? What do I need to do now in order to get it in the future? And in order to make that happen, you need to network now. You've got to be looking at the jobs now. You need to position yourself now. Most people who are successful in today's workplace, it's success, I mean, in terms of getting the life that they want in work and at home, are people who are changing jobs every 2 to 3 years. That's pretty standard for top performers right now.
Penelope Trunk, our guest. Let's go to Dorothy next in Oshkosh. Hello, Dorothy.
Hello. And I'm calling because I have just graduated from nursing school. I'm 50 years old, and I have three kids in college. Actually, my oldest just graduated, and I still have one at home, too, so I have four kids total. And I'm just wondering if Penelope has any advice for wisdom in following the nursing career path. I've actually already got a job, and it's working with babies in an OB unit. And I want to continue my music career also. So I just wondered what kind of advice there is for someone in my stage of life. I'm not an X or a Y. I'm a baby boomer.
Well, what are your goals? You know, what... I can't give you advice till you tell me what your goals are.
Well, I would like to work until I'm pretty old. I don't want to stop working when I'm 65. I'd like to work till I'm 70, 75, 80 if I'm still healthy.
Why?
I love to work. I love being with people, and I just love being out and doing things. And one of my goals is to use music in the nursing profession.
Uh-huh.
And I have done that a little bit, just kind of on a casual basis. I'm not sure how I would carve out my own practice as a nurse using music, or if there's even a market for that.
There's two ways to think about it. One is that if you love music, there's no reason that you need to get paid for it. Like, why? You're really employable as a nurse, and you can choose your hours. Nurses are in extremely high demand, so make hours that you like and have your music on the side. And why do people need to get paid for everything they love? It's ridiculous. Like,
right.
We all love sex. We don't get paid for sex. Like, why do we need to get paid for music, right? So the other way to think about it is that... you can take two things that you're very good at and put them together, and then you become a specialist and more marketable. So one thing you can do is get additional certification, for example, in music therapy, and then take your nursing certificate and your music background and be a music therapist. And I know in New York City, music therapists make about $150 an hour. And I don't know what they'd make in Oshkosh, but that's... Well, I mean, so when you think about specializing also, you have to think about where you are. So specialists are really valuable in New York City because there's always someone to hire them. But a specialist in Oshkosh is not as valuable. So there might be less point in putting those two things together in Oshkosh. And, you know, you said your goal for work is just to be with people and you really enjoy being with people. I think you can meet that goal by being a nurse. You know, you're fine. Just get good hours so you can do your music on the side.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Dorothy. Good
Thank
luck
you
to you.
So much.
Thanks very
yeah.
much for the call. And if you'd like to join in, we have lines open in Madison at 263-1890. Otherwise, it's toll-free at 1-800-642-1234. And our email address is talk@wpr.org. I'm Jim Packard, and you're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Jim Packard in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network, and glad to have you along with us today as we talk about today's career path, a whole new road with Penelope Trunk. She is a Madison-based career columnist for both the Boston Globe and Yahoo Finance. Her first book, Brazen Careerist, New Rules for Success, is published by Warner Books, and we're happy to have her along with us today. And if you have questions, we invite you to join in with your questions about your career, as Veronica has done in Janesville. Hi, Veronica.
Yes, hi.
What can we do for you?
Hi, I'm a new mom. I have a 13-month-old, and I used to work, I have a degree in social work, sociology, and my interest is in social work, and I also wanted to do nursing. But now I have a baby, and I want to spend most of my time with her and do something that could complement that. And I just wanted to, from your author, I was just wondering, what path do you think I should, like, I really don't know how to go about getting what I need to do.
Well, it depends how much time you want to spend with your baby and how much you can afford. Can you afford to stay at home with your baby full time?
No.
So do you need, are you supporting yourself and the baby on your own?
No, I have a husband. His money right now is good enough for our needs, but right now I have about $50,000 in student loans that I'm not even touching yet. I mean, I'm not even starting to pay.
So can you pay them, or can you wait?
Huh?
Can you put them in forbearance? Can you put the loans in forbearance?
They are in forbearance right now. So
okay, so stay home with your baby. But you only get to be home with your baby once in your life. Stay home.
I've been home a year with her, so I am realizing that my loans are getting higher, so I'm going to have to go back to work. And I'm a career that I want is something that incorporates my interest in helping people and also my interest in medical field. And
you're not going to make a lot of money doing that. So if you're going back to work to pay back $50,000 in student loans, you need to earn more money than that. So you have to help people, you know, so you're going to have to help people a different way, like help people, you know, when you come home. Because people who help people and are doing something in the political spectrum, I mean, those are low-paying jobs. And
yeah.
You already, you know, you took is your degree in sociology, is that what you said?
Yeah, my degree's in
sociology. So that's a luxury, right? You spent a lot of time getting to study sociology, which is a totally impractical degree, and you racked up a lot of loans. You've got to start doing something practical.
I was thinking
like,
of that.
You got an impractical degree, and you got to stay home with your kid. Those are both really fun things to do. Now you have to get a practical job that will pay back the loans. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you go into social work, you're going to need another degree. So stop getting degrees because they just cost money. Go get a job. When you're done staying home with your baby, you have to go get a job. It's really hard. It's really awful to have to go get a job, but it's, you know, it's life.
Veronica,
you'll find something that you like. You just got to try. You don't need to save the world with your job. You're saving the world by taking care of your baby.
Veronica, I wish we had a greater range of options for you, but that's it right now. And we'll move on to Tamara in River Falls. Hi, Tamara. Tamara? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't. I got to push that. There you are. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. I'm from River Falls, Wisconsin, and I teach at college level in the fine arts. And my question for you is how to stand out in a job search. I teach painting and drawing, and that's a place where there are probably about 200 applicants for every available job. So I'm trying to figure out, but beyond, you know, the strength of my work, how do I stand out, you know, say in a letter of introduction or a cover letter?
Are you applying outside of the state?
I am. I'm trying to get a better paying job at a small to medium-sized university. That's my goal. My goal is also to be making more money. I'm teaching in the Wisconsin state system, which is nationwide, I think, is probably 20% below average.
Right. Well, so what I know about the art world is it's all about who you know. That, you know, there's in any given group of 200 applicants, 50% of those people have good work and 50% of the people have terrible work. So they take out the 50% with terrible work, and then it's about who you know. It's about who's writing your recommendations. It's about who's making the phone call to the head of the department. And it's about where you've shown, because they want you to be able to get their students into good galleries. So I don't. It's not really about your cover letter. It's about how well you've been networking throughout your career. And a lot of people, a lot of people haven't been doing great networking. But I think there's always time. You know, I think you need to think. Just the art world's not any different from any other job search. The majority of the job search is networking. It's making friends with people who can help you, and like you giving people help in their career, and then them helping you back, and kind of targeting departments instead of. You can't really. It's not going to be effective for you to just like send an application every time there's an art department opening, because you're always going to be competing with someone who's connected at that department. So I think you're better off kind of targeting an area of people or a genre of people that you can kind of get in with, and then they're all helping each other to get positions, and you're much more likely to get one that way. I know it's not like an immediate fix, but my husband's in the art world, so I have a pretty good sense of how it works, and that's how people get their jobs. Do you think that's wrong? Do you think that's off?
I don't think that's off. It's surprising to me that the kind of network and the who you know kind of thing is also in education. But I guess that's just how it is. And so it's actually
especially for the art world, though.
Right. And
go ahead. Well, the other thing you could think about though is it's so hard to judge. Like, if you've got like 10 different painters and they're all good, but they're painting in totally different ways, it completely makes sense that you just hire the painter you most want to hang out with, because the departments are so small and so tight. So you really need to be someone that other teachers want to hang out with.
Right. And also figuring out what that department lacks or something as far as approaches to painting or drawing too.
Right, although what every department lacks is being able to get their students into big shows. So if you have a track record for getting into big shows, you'll get a job.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
All right. Tamara, thank you so much for your call. We appreciate hearing from you. As we talk with Penelope Trunk, she's the author of Brazen Careerist, New Rules for Success, published by Warner Books, and also is a columnist and a blogger for the Boston Globe and Yahoo Finance. And if you'd like to join in, we have a couple of lines open. In Madison, the number is 263-1890. Otherwise, it's toll-free at 800-642-1234. Let's go to Karen next in Stevens Point. Hi, Karen.
Good morning. I would like to find some editing work, not technical editing, but, just regular editing, which I've done in the past before I moved to Wisconsin. And I've tried looking online, and I'm not getting anywhere with that. So I'm wondering if you have any suggestions.
What's your experience?
I did editing for a company in California.
Is it technical company?
No, I said not technical editing.
Is it a consumer publication company?
The one that I did editing for?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, it was just they were writing a manual for, they did a lot. It was real eclectic.
Okay, so the only thing you're qualified to do is get freelance work writing manuals? And that's really competitive, and you only have experience doing it at one company. So the only way to get that kind of freelance work is to have a connection. I mean, I can't stress enough. Everybody wants to work from home doing something that they have total control over their workload in. So that kind of work is extremely competitive, and you can't bank on getting that kind of work. That kind of work comes from a connection. It comes from either being a star in that field or having a connection with someone who's giving out the work. That kind of work doesn't come from applying online. It's just not how the world works.
Okay.
Sorry. I know I'm giving, everybody terrible news here today, but I think, there's a lot of building a career is, about having a long-term goal and spending a lot of years getting to that goal and being focused on it. And if your goal is to be at home doing editing, the first thing is you can't start your career in Wisconsin. This isn't a place where people get great at editing. And so you're not going to have the credibility to do freelance work for non-Wisconsin companies unless you're you know, the other thing you could do is go work at GE and write and edit technical manuals there and then get your boss to let you do it from home. But it's just, like, you need kind of a practical long-term plan that you're committed to executing in order to get the lifestyle you want.
Thank you.
All right, Karen, thank you very much. And obviously, there's lots of information and advice in the book, Brazen Careerist, and might apply to you. Let's go to Colleen next in Gurnee, Illinois. Hello, Colleen.
Hi there. I have a question for your guest about re-education. I've been off work with my daughter for 7 years now. I was in a very highly specialized and technical field. And after being off of work so long, it's almost daunting to re-educate yourself in the newest software, the newest, you know, certifications. And how do you market yourself to a company after you have been off of work for that long?
What kind of work are you looking for?
Well, I was an industrial I'm an industrial designer, but I was a tool maker for the packaging industry.
Uh-huh.
And I'm almost afraid at this point, I've been off work so long, it would take me at least a year or two to get back up to speed to be current, and if that's the case, why shouldn't I just go back to college and do something else?
Do you have a college degree?
I have a master's degree.
In design?
Yes, Master of Fine Arts.
Oh, you're really employable, and it's a myth that women like you are having a hard time getting a job. They're not. The women that are having a hard time getting a job after taking time off are women who had no career before they took time off. You had a great career. You have a track record. You were a specialist. You don't need to be totally up to date on what's going on because it's an employee-driven job market right now. So you should focus on what you want to do and expect to take a little. You'll probably get hired in maybe a little bit below where you were, but you're a good investment. A 25-year-old who's getting hired right now is, I know this is like sexist and awful, but she's going to take off time to have a baby. You're not gonna. You already did it. So you're a really good investment for a company, and you've got a degree that is in demand, and it doesn't matter that you're not. It doesn't matter that you're not up to date. Go read a bunch online. The best way to get up to date is read online in your field. Blogging right now is an amazing way to get up to date on what's going on. Most of the bloggers are blogging about careers. Blogging takes an extremely large amount of time and investment, and so people who are blogging are at the top of their fields. And go read industrial design blogs and comment on them, and you'll feel like you're back in the fray and in no time. You're a great, everybody should be so excited for you. You're a great bet. You should email me. Here's my email, penelope@penelopetrunk.com, and I'll help you find the blogs.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Colleen.
You're welcome.
Thanks very much for the call. The number in Madison is 263-1890. Otherwise, it's toll-free at 800-642-1234. Our email address, talk@wpr.org. We have a couple of lines open. Let's take a moment and talk about the contents of your book. You in part one.
Okay, we need to talk about the contents of my blog because the people who are at home, they can just go online right now and start reading the blog. And I feel like it's like a mind shift. Like, the people who are calling in need a mind shift. Is this okay that I'm talking?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, okay, so the people who are calling in need a mind shift. And the way to get a mind shift is like a little dose every day. So go on my blog every day and just read anything. Just so you can start thinking differently in terms of how to take control of your career. The people who are calling in need to have really important goals that they're making for their personal life and then make a plan for how to make their career meet that. And there are no rules for how to do it, except that you have to be committed to what you're doing. And the mind shift is about personal commitment to driving a career that's going to fuel the life that you want. And I just feel like people don't have that long-term commitment who are calling in. They have kind of like flimsy plans, but mm-hmm. It's your life. You know, it's your life, and you don't need to give up your personal life in order to make the plans, but your career plans and your personal life should mesh, and you should, people will feel more committed to their career plans if they know that they're in sync with their life plans.
So just to go to Penelope Trunk, and you'll come up with a blog, and then follow all of the other information, topics that you have there, and away you go.
Right. Just start reading. Even if you're intimidated to read a blog, just start, because blogs are a great way to get you involved in a career that you're going to like.
And today is a good day to start because you're very honest in your column about your own personal life. Let's go to another caller, Celeste in Woodbury. Hi, Celeste.
Hi. I'm 50 years old. I'm going to be 50 in a few months, and I've sort of run out of career plans. I'm stuck in a dead-end job now, and I don't know where to go from here. I have one degree and a half a certificate. I do visual display now in a retail furniture store, which I really enjoy, but it will never pay more than what I'm making now. There's no place to go. And I've done commercial art, but I'm so out of date now. I'd have to go back to school because I was back in the day of tape and rubyless, and so I'm not sure where to go. I'm sort of...
Well, what do you want for your life?
Right now I'm working part-time, and I'd like something a little more secure and make a little bit more money.
Why do you need a little bit more money? Everyone thinks they need a little bit more money. Need that for?
I make an hourly wage now, and I'm looking forward to sending my son number two to college. He's looking toward college. I'm going, I won't be able to afford that on this salary.
How many years until he goes to college?
One.
Well, so you can't do that.
Oh, okay.
Right, you can't go from an hourly wage to a wage that you can put a kid through college.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily, he'll qualify for financial aid. So it's like,
yes,
it's not a reasonable career goal.
Okay.
So you need a career goal that more speaks to, like, who you are and where you are in life and,
mm-hmm,
and what will make your, you have to first look at what's lacking in your life.
Because I'm happy where I am, but it's sort of a dead-end job that there's no place to go. I mean, I work with lovely people.
So what? If you don't have any goals, you don't need, being at a dead end is fine. First figure out what your goals are and then figure out if the dead end is bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like if your goal is to learn how to figure skate, dead end job's great. Just go there every day, come home, put on your ice skates and take off.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to first figure out your goal.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So your job might be just fine.
Celeste?
And make sure your goal is reasonable because, the first goal you told me, you could never meet that. So it's really frustrating to set unreasonable goals. We get ourselves totally incapacitated with unreasonable goals.
Mm-hmm. Celeste, good luck to you. Some good advice, and I hope you can take it to heart, do something with it. Jeff in Middleton, let's give you a chance. Hi.
Thank you.
A guy.
Yeah, a guy.
I just wanted to mention how true what Penelope was talking about earlier with just the networking and really getting to know people in the business that you're trying to get into. And my story, just briefly, is
Hold on. Isn't this interesting that all the women call in and ask questions and the guys call in with no questions? Why is that?
Why is that, Jeff? I can't answer it.
I'd have to ask a question in order to answer that. I got out of the Marines in April of this year after 12 years, and in December of last year is when I started looking into this company in D.C. So I got out and spent 2 months tinkering around at job fairs with top secret clearance in D.C., and I went to every job fair I could find where this company was at, did my two-minute commercial, this, that, and the other, and for 6 months I could not get a single reply from them in any way, shape, or form, on snail mail, email, my online application. And finally, a friend of mine in the field came home, and I called him up and said, look, I need you to call somebody. And I had a job offer in my email box 3 days later, and this is a job for about $180,000.
If I were paying you $180,000, I'd be really upset that you're calling into radio talk shows in the middle of the day.
Well, I'm not in the job yet. I go for some training here in January, and it's in Iraq, so that's why it's so lucrative.
Oh, so that's really interesting. Let's take a pause here. We all look at each other's lives and, think things look so good, but you know what? No one's life is better than someone else's life, and this is a great example because, you call in and you're like, I'm making $180,000, and then all the listeners are like, God, $180,000, I'd give anything for that. But you know what? We wouldn't. Most of us would never, ever go to Iraq for $180,000, and we should all look at what we have. And, that woman who's making minimum wage at a dead-end job might actually be in better shape for her than making $180,000 in Iraq. And every decision is really, really personal, and I think it's so important to not compare each other, compare ourselves to another person, because, I mean, I can't actually imagine how much I would need money before I would go to Iraq, but it's very personal. Every decision is very personal. We should all remember that.
Jeff, thank you very much for the call and for the balance in programming there. Let me ask you this. In your book, you talk about job interviews and indicate that it's a test that you can study for. Can you just address that briefly?
Well, this whole call-in session has been such a good example. If you don't know what you want in your life, you cannot go in for a job interview. You'll just sound crazy because you have to know why you're applying for that job and why that job meets your personal goals. So that's the first thing. I mean, each of these people, except for the person who wants the art job, each of these people is kind of unclear on what their personal goals are. Mm-hmm. And a career is only there to get your personal goals. So that's the first thing. You got to go into the interview knowing that. The next thing is, and job interviews are just a list of the 200 most standard questions in the whole world. You know, unless you're applying to Google and they're going to give you trick questions, you're going to get the same 200 questions everywhere. So just memorize your answers to them. There's no excuse for not having a great answer to every question because you already know the 200 questions you could get. So just study for it.
We had a second mail call. Mitch in Boston wanted to know what you meant by networking and how to learn to do it well. That was a good example of Jeff with his friend coming back from Iraq to make a call on his behalf. That's networking.
Right. I mean, that's the final result of networking, because that guy was already a friend. Networking is about making friends and helping people.
In your
and
field,
in the end, if you do that, you have a network of people who will get you a job.
All right. Thanks very much for being with us today, spending time. I know you're busy. You're a mother. Your children are there, too. And we appreciate your being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Penelope Trunk is a Madison-based career columnist for both the Boston Globe and Yahoo Finance. Her first book, Brazen Careerist, New Rules for Success, is published by Warner Books. And, of course, her blog, penelopetrunk.com, is one address, but you could just Google Penelope Trunk and you'll come up with her blog and find out what's going on in her life and the advice that she has to offer. Our thanks to Keisha Mabra for on-air phone production. I'm sorry we can't get to more calls, but we've run out of time. If you'd like a CD of the program, it's available through the radio store at 1-800-747-7444. I'm Jim Packard. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.